Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Rebel Rouse and Mitch Bergeron.
It's the Tornado, Tony Pennycow.
And we have an action-packed and guest-ridden show this week instead of a guest show. Two guests tonight. How are you? How long are you reconnecting me?
How long is that going to last?
Yeah. All right. So, for the time being here, I'm going to keep an eye on that. And hopefully we'll stay connected.
Yeah,
we have a big show tonight. Luis Orlando Duval is going to be on the show, as well as Jamal Emmers, who's a mixed martial artist. And fights with Tachi Palace Fights. So hopefully everything goes well. We don't have any technical difficulties beyond this. And we get through it. Good show. Because we haven't had a guest in a while, and we need to have a good couple guest show here. It's been a real long time since we did that. Two guests in one show. Pops in the news lately, mixed martial arts news for a lot of stuff. He retired, first of all, Mirko Krokop. Then it came out it wasn't just a little bit of a shoulder injury that retired him. It was also apparently an anti-doping, UFC anti-doping policy violation. So it was pretty interesting stuff. They said that... his scheduled bout against Anthony Hamilton at UFC Fight Night in Korea has been canceled. Hamilton will get a new opponent on an upcoming card. U.S. UFC anti-doping policy, as per their policy, USA ADA will handle the results, management, and appropriate adjudication of the case. And Tuesday, on his own website, he said he was retiring and withdrawing from the fight, citing a shoulder injury that left him unable to raise his arm. So apparently he took steroids to see if that would help raise his arm. And they busted him, it sounds like. So now he's retiring. So that's one of those little interesting stories we've been circulating the last couple of days. And we'll see what happens with it. I don't know where it's going. Where it's going to go. But it sounds like... they basically were going to suspend him. It was a serious violation, so he probably ended up saying, well, what are my odds of being able to come back after that kind of a layoff? It's not going to happen, so I'm just going to retire. That was it. But it is what it is. Got to deal with it. But he's back enough to avenge one of his big losses against Gabriel Gonzaga. It'll be one of the most vicious head kick knockouts in mixed martial arts history when Gonzaga clipped him. Clipped him so hard he just about broke his ankle falling down. If he does indeed retire and doesn't come back at all, his final record will be, let's see, hold on. I don't know if we talked about this last week too, but switching gears a little here. In boxing, Bob Arum is pissed because apparently... there's some rumors going around that Manny Pacquiao signed a deal with Khan. It's like Khan.
We did not discuss that last week. I remember we were saying Bob Arum was pissed off about something, but that wasn't it.
Yeah, he said, don't you think if I'm the promoter of the fight and I would know if I sent a contract? It's total bullshit. It's not true. This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that, but I didn't think it was Amir Khan.
Yeah. Amir Khan is trying to really get that fight. So, then the other thing, probably the more entertaining thing about it, is Let's see. I was going to tell you the record. Final record for Crow Cop is 31-11-2. Here's a funny one. Gotta get Tom on. We can for our discussion on this one, but there is a little marketing ploy recently. Now, I don't know if you've heard of the app Tumblr.
The app Tumblr?
The app Tumblr, yes.
I can't say that I have.
Well, there's Tumblr and there's Tinder and, you know, there's all these different apps that you can get for your phone. These guys came up with their own called Rumblr.
I like it.
Rumblr. And this is kind of a funny one. They decided that they were going to market this as a real thing, even though it wasn't real. But the fake idea was to take this whole thing and market it as an app to get involved in casual street fighting. Like,
I like it.
Somebody. So, hey, you know, use this app. You can meet people to go punch in the face. So they came up with this whole concept, and they built it, and they marketed it, and they wanted to see how many people would order it. And so many people ordered it that they just, you know, they didn't create it. They just declared it a success as a marketing campaign, because obviously, you know, there'd be lawsuits at the beginning getting it. They made this Fight Club app actually, you know, functional. I thought that was a funny story I saw this week, though. All right. Well, the freaking Blog Talk Radio page is taking forever to load up.
Of course it is.
Fortunately, we cannot connect with Psychic Tom right now. What are we missing?
What are we missing overall?
Yeah.
Or what are we missing with the show?
What do we got coming up?
Well, I'll tell you what we had last week was a pathetic showing by Duran and Rios.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
And I know, I saw the fight. And I was going into the fight, and remember what I said last week when we were discussing it. And the one thing Tom pointed out was one of my statements from a couple years ago. Brandon Rios is Brandon Rios. He's going to give you Brandon Rios. You're going to get the same thing. You know, he generally goes balls of the wall, you know, and he just tries to outwill you and grind you down. You know, he hadn't fought in 10 months, but another one of Brandon Rios' big issues was always his weight. Going into this fight, you know, he had the fight where he won the rubber match with Mike Alvarado back last January, so he had a 10-month layoff. And he's coming back, and before the fight started, they were, you know, talking to both guys, and Rios was like, yeah, I was in training camp, and the first 2 weeks, I was like, fuck, man, I don't want to be here no more, man. I don't want to do this no more. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and my wife had to snap me out of it. It's like, yo, if I got to go to my job every day, so do you. He's like, you know, that fucking snap me out of it. I'm like, when you're sitting there and you're admitting that the first 2 weeks of camp, you're like, I don't know more, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah,
you're basically already admitting that, you know, you're not putting your full effort into this. Then that was bad clue number one. Bad clue number two is they show the fighters and they're like, okay, and both fighters weighed in at whatever it was, like 146 or 147. Rios stepped on our unofficial scale tonight at like 173.
Mm-hmm.
That's 26 pounds in 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and when they were in that ring together, I mean, hey, I credit the fuck out of Timothy Bradley. You know, he brought Teddy Atlas in there, and they seemed like that was a match that worked. And you could see, like, you know, shots of them in camp together, and Atlas was real intense, and you could see Bradley just focusing on him. And I liked what I saw there. You know, he was just, you could see him just zoning in on and buying into what Teddy was saying. And you know, he got in there in the first round. Bradley was moving. You know, Bradley was popping his jab, and he looked fast, and he looked sharp. I turned to my dad and said, Rios looks like he's in quicksand right now. He just looked that slow and that much of a step behind. And, you know, Bradley just took it to him. I think they gave Rios one round, and I'm like, how the hell did they give him that round? Just because he put pressure on? Not like he did anything. And pretty much ate him alive and finally stopped him in the ninth round, and Rios retired right on the spot. And, you know, best move for him, you know? So, you know, if boxing's not a sport, but it's like, you know what, I think I'm going to hang on one more season, or, you know, I don't feel like doing this no more, but I'm going to see if I can, you know, try to, you know, make a few more dollars. Now, man, it's a sport where you can get hurt bad.
Right.
If you don't got it, get out.
Get the fuck out. All right. And we got some big fight this weekend, don't we?
Yeah. Do you need a box rec up? Tell me. Because I don't have it up in front of me.
Don't have it right in front of me, but I'm sure we might have some time to discuss the big stuff coming up. When is Miguel Cotto versus Canelo?
Next weekend. Not this coming weekend, next weekend. So hopefully this weekend, because if I have some free time, maybe tomorrow night, and definitely Sunday night, because I was working on a project the last two weekends that I am now done with.
Right.
So hopefully this coming Friday night and Sunday night, I can work on a preview for you guys. I was even talking to my one coworker, you know, just what he thinks. And I think it's going to be a good one. You know, you got two guys on there, you know, two guys, a lot of pride, two guys that got warrior spirits, two guys that are, but they're very skilled, you know, where they can put on a good boxing performance, but they're also two guys that are tough as balls that, you know, will sit there, you know, hunker down, grit their teeth, and, you know, start trading and center of the ring and let the better man win.
Right. Cool. Well, here's a story you might like. Floyd Mayweather has beef with Adrian Broner.
I heard that.
It's a scathing attack on his former protege, I guess, insisting that Adrian has, quote, a lot of growing up to do, unquote. Broner is 31-2, 23 knockouts. He just bounced back from his second career defeat from Sean Porter by getting the vacant WBA belt with a TKO victory over Khabib Alekhverdiev in October. But Broner has referred to me.
And he still, yeah, I mean, he won, but it wasn't like a wow performance.
Right. But nevertheless, Broner has had the balls to criticize Mayweather and the money team in general in the wake of this big win of his. And now retired, Mayweather has reacted furiously to Broner's derision of TMT, the money team, which includes promotional advisor Al Haymon, and says the 26-year-old should not consider himself. So Mayweather did not pull any punches, so to speak, right alongside the situation. He said he loses to Sean Porter, then you fight for a world title right after that for a vacant title, you and your opponent coming off losses. Me, as a fighter, if I lost a fight, there's no way in hell that my next fight would be fighting for a title against another guy that's coming off a loss. I would consider myself a champion, said Mayweather about that. So, I mean, as much as I hate to agree with Mayweather ever, he does make a good point there. You know, here he is bragging about his big title. He got it fighting a guy coming off a loss, and he's coming off a loss. And he had some more colorful stuff to say that we probably can't use on the air. No, we can, but...
Why not? We're rated R.
Yeah, my computer is just lagging right now, so I got nothing. Nothing. Man, this thing sucks. Blog Talk Radio is still on, though. That's good. All right. Come on. Snap out of it. Speaking of snapping out of it, how about those Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, about freaking time, you know. I was up watching the whole thing. I was, but at the very end of it, I was a happy camper.
Yeah, that was a good win.
Very good win, you know. What I liked most about it, and a lot of people, you know, didn't know this, even guys of friends of mine that are Eagles fans that maybe didn't see some of the post game didn't know this, when it went to overtime, for Sam Bradford, who's been really maligned this season, you know, he said to his team, he goes, "We're getting the kickoff and they ain't getting the ball."
Mm-hmm.
And he took them right down the field, 80 yards, scored. Took 5 plays.
Sweet. I might get it.
Yeah, you know what I've been doing? You know what I've been doing recently? For a good workout, I've been getting into those power ropes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm loving them, dude. I am loving them. Makes me feel like a beast.
Like the big, huge ropes where you just like.
Where you just like kind of smash them back and forth and whip them up and down and all that shit.
Oh yeah, like.
Those are the ones.
Yeah, but the end of the rope instead of on the rope.
Yeah, those are the ones where you grab at the very handles and you do like the waves and all that. And
yeah, they work, huh?
Yeah, dude, man. You go 30, 40 seconds on those things, like a minute or two, you know what I mean? You're huffing, you're sweating, and you're huffing and puffing. It's a good thing.
Well, we finally got Tom connected, I believe. I have a psychic wave. There
yes,
he is.
Sir. And, I heard you earlier, Tony, talking about Brandon Rios. He, the only thing I can say about that is you go back to that old Max Kellerman quote. Boxing is definitely not the kind of activity to hang around in, just to say you're hanging around. And, you know, I guess he signed for the fight, and like you said, it took him 2 weeks to figure out, I don't want to do this, but, wow, should have thought of that before he signed. What a way to go out, huh?
Mm. Yeah, you know what? And you know, just like I said on there, when he came out and said, "Oh man, in training camp, I feel like I didn't have this no more," and you know, I had to really, you know, my wife had to motivate me to start training and whatever. You know, I'm like, you're telling me right now, this ain't a Rocky movie where Adrian gotta give him the pep talk and then he goes out there to win the fight and you know, and starts training. Yeah, this ain't no movie, man. When you're out there saying, man, I don't want to do this no more, I ain't got this no more, you know what? You ain't got this no more.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that you've been 6 pounds heavier, you know, in one day.
I mean, that's kind of like my a brand new Rolls Royce and wondering about gas mileage or, you know, going into a fancy restaurant and there's no price on the menu. Well, if you have to ask, you shouldn't be in there. It's that simple.
Well, Tom, tell us what your thoughts are on Vitor Belfort getting a quick win over Dan Henderson the other night.
Well, you know, what can you say? I think that it's almost like such a replay of their rematch that I don't know what to say about Dan. I mean, you know, I've been a fan of his since the 90s. You know, when he came around, I think it was 98, I think he made his debut in the UFC, 98, 99, you know, really back in the old days. But all good things come to an end, and I think he's really got to consider where he's going after that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can only keep saying I got caught, but, you know, in his prime, he was never knocked out. And it seems like, you know, we've seen this again and again. Once your chin goes, it goes.
Right.
And I think he's damaged his goods.
With the decision, you know, the decision to step in and stop it at that particular time. But, you know, I think Dan actually did admit later on, yeah, I got caught. Should have never been in that position in the first place. I would like to have a little bit more time, but I can see why they stopped it.
You know, and the whole thing is Dan was such a smart fighter, and I don't think his fight IQ is lower. I think as you get older, you get smarter. The problem is he was a split second slow in reacting to it, and as we all know, sometimes it's a fraction of a second is all it takes. I mean, this is a game of reflexes. and he was just a little too slow, and maybe age is catching up to him. I mean, there's one undefeated fighter throughout history, and that's Father Time. So I'd hate to see him go. Yeah, well, there you go. You know, but even The Rock, remember what he said after that Archie Moore fight? You know, he said, you know, the whole Joe Louis thing, he thought back on that and said, it's a matter of time. But at least he was smart enough to know that. So there you go. Right. But I think the excitement to me is Shamrock and Gracie the third time around, you know, because I'm an old school guy. And it was kind of unfinished business, but a lot of the young guys really don't, you know, they're making all these old folks jokes, you know, like Shamrock is 50, born 64, February 64, so he'll be 53 when the fight goes off. And Gracie will be 48, because he's born December of 66. So they're making all these jokes about early bird special at Denny's and, you know, who's going to get the insurance. I mean, you know. Oh, guys, this should be entertaining. I mean, certain styles, like when Roberto Duran finally fought Pepino Cuevas, Cuevas was past his prime then. But it's like one of the announcers commented on it that this is the kind of fight that would be good 10 years later. You know, styles make fights. And this is just unfinished business, and Gracie's really trash-talking this. Oh, he says it's personal. He just hates Shamrock. So I think it'll be interesting, but a lot of the young folks really don't seem to have much interest in it. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Hey, at least it's free.
Yeah, it's funny, too, how we teased that there was a rumor going around that it could have been Kurt Angle versus Ken. And Kurt Angle comes out and says, no, it's not me. It's someone else. That's a little wrestling move. Pat Coker likes a little bit of the wrestling theatrics and stuff. He's good with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, among the old school crowd, that it's going to draw quite a bit of, it's going to have very high ratings, my prediction on that one. And, right. Yeah, and I imagine the younger fans will probably watch too. So if nothing else, it could be a spectacle. So it should be entertaining. And Scott Coker's got his he's got a feel for this kind of stuff. I mean, even if it doesn't always go as he planned, as per Tito Ortiz and Stephen Bonner, what a disaster that turned out to be. But, at least it packs him in. People are watching.
And did you get a chance to watch any of the Bellator fights?
Yes. And as I said about Marcin Held, by the at the end of the second round, I kind of got a feel for where it was going. So I was just getting caught up on my emails while he was wrestle-effed. Early on, I mean, I think what happened is I know from experience that when you get a heel hook or a toe hold or an ankle lock, it does. I mean, you've got to snap it, and you've got to put force into it, but not as much force as a knee bar. A knee bar is really hard to get, and some guys, you just can't get it. Some guys are just freakishly double-jointed, and I think Will Brooks was in that category. And if you noticed in that first round, Hell was cranking that knee, cranking that whole leg. I mean, you've really got to get that whole leg in there and get this just right. It's a very difficult submission for most people. Frank Mir has it down pretty good. Shamrock had it down pretty good in his prime. But my point is you really lose a lot of cardio if you can't get it. And Hell just kept squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. And I knew that after he didn't get it in that first round, I said, well, I'll give him one more round to work something. And then by the end, he was just doing a bum rush, trying to do those bum rush takedowns. And that was hopeless. So he gave it a good shot, but I don't know. Will Brooks is a load. And how about that main event? Ugh. Or did you see the main event?
Yay!
Hey, we're back.
We are. Okay, and we have to get Jamal on pretty immediately here. So hopefully that goes quicker this time.
Hello?
sure we'll be getting Psychic Tom back in the line any second now. And here is Jamal Emmers.
Reached the voicemail box of 9-0-9-8-4-0-5. Reached the voicemail box of 9-0-9-5-2-8-4-0-5-7. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Jamal, it's Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron here from the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We were supposed to talk to you at 8:30. We had some technical difficulties on the show. We're trying to connect with you now. If you get this message, you can call in to us at 347-324-3228. And we'll try you back in a few minutes if we don't hear from you soon. We got till 9:15 when we have to have our next guest on, so hopefully we can squeeze you in and talk about your upcoming fight here. Okay, now let me go back to Skype. Unbelievable. If it's not one thing, it's another tonight. Come on. I hit something. Also, big fight this weekend. In addition to Rousey versus Holm, we have Joanna Jędrzejczyk fighting Valerie Letourneau there in the co-main event. So it's four females headlining UFC event. That's
hey.
Impressive.
Give me a deal. They can put on a good show.
Hopefully. And I think I mentioned this already on the show, but I have a bet with my co-worker in the wood business that Holly Holm's going to get out of round one.
Okay.
So we'll see. Holly,
you better be out like it.
It's pretty bold.
She's got to, control the action and you're not get taken down. You know, she's got to use her boxing ability. Now, Rousey, from what I saw of her last fight, when she fought armbar and submit you. But she really took to the girl in the boxing game.
Right.
You know, and I think that's, you know, showing some proof there that she is interested maybe within the next year or so of crossing over.
Yeah. Well, she's talked with De La Hoya, I think, and we'll see what happens there. But I don't think she could be able to do it without breaking her UFC contract. I think she's got kind of some...
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, Dana White would... Well, in a way, Dana White would be foolish. Because right now, he's one of, if not his biggest bankable star. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say right now, he is his biggest bankable star. You know, she's already crossed over, you know, had the appearances at WrestleMania. You know, she's becoming a household name out there. I mean, hell, she was just, I didn't get to open it yet. I just got it yesterday, but she's on the cover of the latest Ring magazine, a boxing magazine, and she is on the cover of it. So she is definitely becoming a crossover star. So now it's like, you know, in Dana White's mind, he's got her locked up. And basically to let her go anywhere else is foolish. And especially say she goes into the, you know, into the boxing field and that's not her forte and she gets beat or she gets knocked down, you know, gets dominated. Boy, that really, really throws a monkey wrench into everything because he just sees his, you know, his millions is flushing down the toilet.
Yeah.
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record. To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message,
like
press
2.
Voicemail? To re-record, press 3. Press 4. To cancel, press star.
Yes. I can't get the Skype.
I'm sure this guy does not want to hear a 10-minute message about us talking about Ronda Rousey.
To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record, press 3. For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star.
Oh, man. Sorry, Jamal.
To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record, press 3.
I was gonna get
for
it.
More options, press 4.
Right.
To cancel, press star.
Just want to open Skype.
Sorry, please try again later. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey. Well, at least they hung up on us. I can't connect. All right.
Hello.
Hello, Jamal.
Hey.
There he is. All right, we've been trying to get in touch with you guys. This is Ravel Rouse and Rich Burgers around here with the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. Yeah, Tony's going on the line with us, too.
Hello?
What's going on?
Hey.
Can you hear me okay?
Like, barely. Sorry. I think I have a bag signal in the area where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, with us, we'll try to get through it quickly here. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming fight here, Tachi Palace, right?
Yeah, yes.
Who's your opponent, and what do you know about him?
Well, I have a new opponent. My old opponent dropped out, I heard, due to injury. My new opponent, I can't recall his name at the moment. I know he's 3-3. He has a jiu-jitsu background.
And you train with some tough guys yourself. Tell us about your background.
Yeah, well, I train at Pinnacle with Bobby Green and Darren Caldwell, Ruben Durant. Those guys. I started off with a background in wrestling. I'm originally from Florida, so I wrestled there in Florida.
Oh.
That's where I got started.
And do you have a favorite strike or submission move or anything like that? Do you like to use a lot? Anything?
I've been doing a lot of knee bars, so I guess that's my favorite one of recent.
All right. Yeah, that's something I got to do some learning. I'm trying to do some amateur. Anyway, when did you first get into the sport? When did you first get into the sport?
Well, as a kid, I would, me and my father and my younger brother the old UFC fights. My dad would, like, rent on some Blockbuster. I can remember back in the day. Like, wow, that was cool. Watching, and one day I was just like, I want to try that. So,
how about favorite fighters out there? Is there anybody you have to watch every time they fight?
Not really. I mean, my favorite self. I like to watch myself fight.
Right. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Do you have anybody that influenced you from all-time fighters or anything like that you like to watch? That cares at all?
From the old fighters?
Yeah.
I probably when I started to wrestle, when I decided that's what I wanted to do, I wanted to be a fighter. I saw all the wrestlers were beating guys up, so I was like, maybe I should learn how to wrestle first. So, I mean, they probably influenced me to and got me into wrestling.
Cool.
So I'll say Randy Couture and Matt Hughes.
There you go. Yeah, I did an interview with the Round 5 guys who do the figurines. Anyway, tell us a little bit about this promotion, Tai Chi Palace. I know that the guys that are doing your PR have a history with them, obviously. Tell us how you like working for them.
Well, I like the promotion a lot. I first fought for them back in May, and they treated me well. So I really enjoy it for that promotion. Very professional.
Cool. And what would you say you enjoy most about fighting in general?
I just like to compete. Like, it's just something about competition. Like, just me testing my skill up against another man is just to see who the best is. It's like, it gives me, like, some high, you know? Like I'm not a smoker or a drinker, don't do drugs, nothing like that. So I can say fighting is my drug.
All right. And hear me? Hello?
To be the UFC champ. That's my main goal. Right. Be the best in the world.
And what weight are you at?
I fight at 145.
So you got to go through the big dogs.
Yeah.
That's a tough weight class there. A lot of rising stars.
Yeah.
And is there anybody out there right now you really like to fight if you had the chance?
Not really. I'm willing to fight whoever. Whoever I have to go through to get to where I need to be, I'm willing to fight them. I don't care who they are.
No? Oh, hold on.
Hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. We can hear you.
Okay. It's not, like, I don't know if it's the area where I'm at right now, but the signal is.
But sometimes on my end, it doesn't always come through. Tell us a little bit more about your background. Do you have the wrestling? Do you have any big accomplishments there? Did you go to any big tournaments while you were doing wrestling?
Not twice. That's about it.
Pounds over my weight class when I was in high school. That was not fun. We had a freshman at 175, and so they said, well, you know, we can't have you wrestling in the captain at 160, so we got to put you up at 171, because I did a wrestle captain. I beat the captain. So they said, all right. We'll put you in 171, and then they made me actually drink a gallon of water one time to make weight 89, because they wanted a chance to bump me up if they had for strategy match.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And one time they did that, they put me up against like a time state champ. And he put me up at some kind of pretzel. It'd probably be like a triangle choke in MMA today, but that's what it was. Man, they said, all you got to do is not get pins. And that was not easy. That was not easy. But I had a lot of fun with it. I went 8-2, even at 171 as my record, because that fight didn't count. But and I watched my captain lose to a guy I had to fight earlier because he got bumped up from 160 to 171.
Yeah.
I had already gone against this guy and beat him like 3 weeks earlier, and here he is in the finals of the sectionals beating my captain. In the finals.
Wow.
So pissed. But anyway, that's why you got to keep the fighting spirit alive. You never know when you get a chance, right?
Yes.
Keep it going. But how about the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight? Tell us that.
Like mentally get ready?
Both. Mentally, physically, whatever.
Well, physically, I'm always in shape to fight. I train pretty much throughout the whole year. I don't really take too many days off. Mentally, it just depends. Sometimes I'll sit there and just envision myself just winning, or like sometimes I'll just listen to like.
Yeah, it's important. Yes, Willie is the nickname.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do you know
his
name, Whip-Ass Willie?
Yeah, it's my teammate.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Whip-Ass Willie and someone else on the same night earlier, a few weeks ago, and I was saying the same thing about meditation, you know, and just clearing your head.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And he said something, the same thing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Helps. All the thoughts just go away and kind of think about nothing and then just let your instinct take over. A lot of people don't realize that it's if you think too many guys in a fight, sometimes you just let your switch off and let it switch.
I've seen a few fights when you can just tell a guy's just thinking too much and like his opponent is kicking his butt. Because sometimes when you think too much, you give tails.
Right. Yeah. All right. Now, how do people find you out there? You got MySpace. No, obviously, nobody has MySpace anymore. But Facebook.
MySpace? What are we, 2006?
Sorry.
Yeah. I have my Facebook is Jamal Emmers. I got a fight fan page is Jamal.
All right. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on you. Best of luck in your career. And you got any final thoughts for either your opponent or anybody out there listening?
Well, just whoever they're listening, just follow your dreams. Work hard enough and they'll come true.
Jamal Emmers, another partner there with our buddy Whoop-Ass Willie. Was it Gates? Was his last name? I forget. I want to say Gates, but it's...
Yeah, I had a real hard time, a lot of static. That's why I really didn't have a chance to ask a lot, because I really couldn't hear you guys. I heard bits and pieces.
He's acting pretty shady today. I don't know. I guess.
Well, how's the weather up by where you live? Because, down here is not bad, but I'm watching the Jets game, and they're getting slammed.
Yeah, the Jets game is on right now? Oh, on the NFL Network?
Yeah, the Jets are playing Buffalo. And I wrote this on Facebook. The Jets are in all green. Green jerseys, green pants. The Bills are in, I thought the Bills were in blue uniforms, but they're wearing all red. Red jerseys and red pants. And neither team's wearing a white jersey, which I've never seen before. But you got, one team in all green, one team in all red. I said, what is it, the annual Christmas game? And when the hell did I miss Thanksgiving?
That is funny. All right.
Yeah, I tried to be humorous.
We got to get Luis Orlando Del Val on pretty quickly here. We were already supposed to have him on 5 minutes. be almost on time with him. Tom.
Hello.
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 Hello. Luis.
Yes.
There he is. All right. Our other co-host, too, we have Psychic Tom Padgett. He'll be on in a minute here. You got a big fight coming up this Saturday, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell us about this opponent you got. They consider him a journeyman, right? He's got like 52 fights or something?
Yes, sir. I'm fighting Jose Juan Beltran out of Mexico. He has fought a lot of the guys that are, former world champions, former top contenders, and you know, here we are getting ready to face him.
What do you know about him, his style and all that, and his strengths, weaknesses, all that stuff?
Pretty much for us, a last-minute replacement, and we already met back in 2013, and I won in a fourth-round knockout.
Oh.
But he's coming out of a win, and, you know, we expecting a much stronger fighter, and you know, we just getting ready to do the same job again and coming out with a win.
Cool. And what would you say is your ultimate goal with all this?
I mean, definitely out of Saturday, I'm looking forward to win, look spectacular and score another knockout. But going forward after this fight, facing 2016, we are hoping to knock doors for a world title opportunity.
All right. And how did you get into the sport of boxing?
How did I get into boxing? It's just in my DNA. My cousin Rafael De Valle is a former bantamweight WBO world champion back in 1992, 1994, and ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a boxer. But it wasn't until I was 13 years old that I found a gym behind my school, and I joined the gym, and ever since, you know, I've been here.
All right. And what do you love most about boxing?
I'm sorry. Hello?
Yep. What are you doing?
It's breaking up. I can't hear you very well. I'm sorry.
Okay. What if you had to pick something? What would you say you enjoy most about boxing?
I really enjoy the feeling of winning, and when you fighting and you know that, you know, that adrenaline rush that you get while you're fighting. I really love that. But what I love the most. Is the sportsmanship in the boxing when after you finish a fight that you and that other fighter was beating each other up, but at the end of the day you guys shake hands and give a hug and wish a well being for each other is just something that I really love about this boxing game.
I agree.
So hard for people to get into a fist fight anywhere and then be friends afterwards, but
yeah,
you know, boxing, it happens all the time. I remember one of my ex-girlfriends asked me about that. Well, how do you fight your best friend? What if you had to fight your best friend? Well, that's what we do, you know, that's just something we do. So
yeah, actually when you fight your friends is when you act, when you have your toughest fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it's true. Now, do you have a favorite punch?
I love the hook, man. I love the hook and the double hook, hook to the body, hook to the top. I love it. But my over right hand is very sneaky, so I use it a lot because a lot of fighters, they... So most of the time I'm coming at the short fighter, and when they jab, Most of the fighters, they always throw like a lazy jab. So most of the time, my overhand hand always goes on top. So it's a punch that is always work for me.
Cool. Anybody?
There's nothing better than digging that hook to the body, though. Nothing better than
yeah.
You just dig them toes in and just drive one into them rib cage.
and you hear that when the guy makes the groan and the air comes out of him, that's a good feeling.
Yeah, but it's better when you hit him and he goes, oh, and he hugs you and you know that he hurt. It's crazy because you know, and it's like they say when the dogs taste the blood that he goes for more, so we like that. When the job is finished, you go and you hug him and you're like, you all right? I don't know.
And that was the one thing you said a few moments ago. That is one of the greatest things about the sport. And I wish more young kids would get back into the boxing and even the martial arts, because it teaches you a lot of like respect and sportsmanship, that you're going in there and you're going, you know, as hard as you can. But at the end of it, you know, you're still brothers.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of kids adopted that mentality on the street. I know, hey, when I was a kid, and, you know, if I got in a street fight with somebody, and when it was over like, okay, hey, it's over. You know, we're putting our hands down, and, you know, we're friends. You know, maybe not friends, but we're no longer adversaries. Too many kids today, it's like kid number one, they square off, and kid number one beats kid number two. Kid number two's out there running to grab like a baseball bat or a gun or get like a gang or, you know, something where it just makes things work instead of, you know, showing that respect, showing that sportsmanship. And, you know, I mean, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, boxing saved my life. You know, when I was coming up, I was always the shortest guy in the crew and in the school and stuff like that. So they always trying to pick on me, but I was always getting into fights because I have a lot of heart. You know, I got a fighter in me. I'm a fighter, so I used to always stand up and don't let nobody bully me or whatever. So I was always getting into fights. But as soon as I started boxing, everything stops. You create a discipline. You know
exactly
that. You know how to avoid problems, and you know how to walk away from them. And I'm 28 years old, and I've been boxing since I was 13. So you do the math, that's 15 years. So I've been 15 years trouble-free, basically, you know. Ever since I've been fighting, I haven't thrown a punch in the street. So, you know, a lot of fighters look at boxing as the wrong way because they think because you're a boxer, you just want to go out and fight. Is way different.
Boxing gloves.
And live it alone.
And,
it
was
like,
and she looked at me, you know, and she goes, a boxing glove? And I said, yeah. She goes, I'm like, and at the time I was still, you know, I still wasn't competing anymore, but I was still sparring a lot. And I was like, yeah. I said, I box. Oh, I thought you were nice. So what are you talking about? You're mean. Like you want to fight and be violent. I said, it's a sport. You know, just like football or baseball or soccer, they're sports. It's a competition. But at the same time, I'm not out there to, I mean, I'm out there to stop talking like, and domestic violence and all that. I said, well, you have the wrong guy here. But the same thing you said. I said, when I was growing up, and I always say this on the show, I was a kid that never stood out. I played football. I was mediocre. I was a student. I was in school, but I wasn't a great student, and I wasn't, you know, the most popular. I wasn't the prom king. I was just there, and I wanted to stand out. I wanted to, you know, do something. So what I did, I took it to the streets, and I felt if I could fight somebody, people would know who I was. And then I realized now how stupid that was. I stopped fighting on the street because I realized how stupid it was. And I said, if you want to see me, if you want me to prove something, buy a ticket, you know?
Exactly.
And I'm about 200 pounds. I thought I was around 175-ish. 5'8". So I was small. I was short for my weight class. Short, stocky guy. But I always, like, a lot of times guys would be taller than you, and they thought just because they're taller than you, they could push you around. And I remember even years later, a friend of mine just passed away. He was a manager at a bar, and he's like, hey, man, you want to be a bouncer? And I looked at him. I said, no, thank you. He's like, come on, you could bounce here. I said, listen. I said, I worked parties before, and I said, if a guy tries to intimidate me because he's taller than me, I said, I'll have no problem bringing him down to my level. What do you mean? I said, I'll drop him in a heartbeat. Well, we don't want you whacking nobody. I said, well, maybe it's good. I'm not a bouncer. I'm not a wrestling type of guy where I can, you know, out muscle him. I'm a puncher type of guy. So we kind of, you know, let that deal kind of go by the wayside.
Exactly.
Tom.
Yes, sir. Okay, got back again here. Boy, the technical problems, huh?
Orlando. Can you hear us?
Sometimes it breaks up.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of weather interruption with the satellites. We're on a computer phone, so.
Sorry. Yeah, now I hear you. You're good.
Psychic Tom is with us. He's going to give us your psychic outlook for your future career.
There we go. All right. You know, guys, I was checking some things out on YouTube, and, you know, you had that great interview down there in Mexico saying how everything was going pretty smooth there. And it sounds like you're very well-traveled, and I think that's a good thing because sometimes you can hear the same thing pretty much, but maybe from a different trainer, and there's a little different slant on it, and I think that really helps you a lot, and in your case, your record speaks for itself. I mean, I think you've taken all those different trainers and the places you've been, and you're really putting it together, so things are looking great for you.
Yes, definitely. You know, we just working on our craft, and you know, hopefully 2016 is the year that we could become a world champion.
Yeah.
Now, how about do you have any favorite fighters?
Well, definitely, yes. Felix Trinidad is my favorite fighter, and after Felix Trinidad, Juan Manuel Marquez, you know, those are two extraordinary fighters that I really look up to.
Yeah, Juan Manuel, he's a pretty tough guy. Both pretty tough guys. How about anybody you watch today? A fight today? Well, obviously Juan Manuel hasn't retired yet, but
yeah, I mean he's retired. I mean, I'm a fan, man. I love them both. I mean, I love them. I love them all. I like to watch Danny Garcia's fight. He's a friend of mine. We traveled together as an amateur, so I always support him. I love to watch him fight. Also, Terrence Crawford, I was also a part of you know, we were point teammates, so I enjoy watching fights. And plus, so enjoy watching Golovkin fights. Chocolatito is just a phenomenal, just a great fighter. Yeah. No, I like to watch them all, man. I'm a boxing freak. I'm a boxer, but I'm also a fan, so I just love to watch boxing.
I was doing the interview lately. How many people are the sport of combat sports and they don't have favorite fighters? They don't know what's going on. They don't even watch it, some of these people. I'm like, how can you be in like an MMA fighter in particular and not be watching your own sport? That's
not me, man. Actually, I was watching Toe to Toe Tuesday on a PBC on Tuesday when the super bantamweight were fighting on Alejandro Gonzalez Jr. against this guy Zahir Sabir Gabir. I don't recall his last name, but it was an upset win, and the guy came from the knockdown the first round and pulled the upset. You know, I watched them all, man. If I turn the TV and I find some boxing, I watch it.
Cool. So you must like the Premier Boxing Champion setup now with Al Haymon running everything and buying out all the TV networks. That's got to be a good thing for you guys. And you're also working with Miguel Cotto too, right?
Yeah, I got picked up by Rock Nation Sport. They're my promoters, and you know, I'm very, very grateful and thankful for them trusting in my career and my talent, and
And, you know, right now I'm fighting on a Koto promotion show that they're doing alongside with Rock Nation, and they giving me opportunities to fight in my hometown. I mean, in Puerto Rico, and you know, I really love fighting home. So hopefully next year things picked up a little, you know, better with better opposition, and I'm really looking forward to get back and fighting in New York and also in a big TV network like Showtime, HBO, and stuff like that.
And now, what do you think about this Rock Nation? I mean, obviously he's got some pull in the music and entertainment business, but how do you think he's doing with the boxing so far?
I mean, they basically just brand new in the picture. It's just everything is a work in progress. They already have Underworld, Miguel Cotto. They already making Cotto Canelo is one of the biggest events probably in the last few years, and they getting ready to sign Rigondeaux. So it looks promising. You know, it looks promising, and I'm looking forward for what they have in store for Orlandito del Valle.
Now, have they let you meet your boss, Jay-Z, yet? If you had get the chance to shake his hand and all that?
No, not yet. Looking forward to it, though.
There you go. Yeah. When you get back to New York, I'm sure they'll make that happen for you.
I'll probably meet him because I'm sure he will be next week on the Cotto Canelo fight, and I'm going to be there, so who knows if I get to meet him.
Brandon, he'll want to meet.
What?
If you knock him out, right? He'll definitely want to meet you. I'm going to go shake that guy's hand. It'll be the other way around. You know, right now you want to meet him. Then, you know, he'll want to meet you. There you go. So what do you think about boxing? Great line that said boxing is dying in death. It still keeps coming back. What do you think about it, your sport? Where it's at right now.
I'm sorry, it was breaking up and jumping. I couldn't hear the question.
Basically, what's your outlook on the sport in general right now? How do you think boxing is doing as a sport? Period.
Tell you the truth, it's more as a it moved on from a sport to a business. It's more as a business now than it used to be before. Right now, anybody with a pretty face and that knows how to throw punches a little bit. I'm sorry. And with a good management team or with a good promotional company, will become a champion. As long as they have a good financial backup and a good promoter and manager behind them, they make somebody that knows how to throw a few punches good, they make them a star, a celebrity, and so on. Before, Only the ones that really was the good fighters and Art was the one that was becoming champions, because before you had to be the best to be the champion or had to be the best to fight a champion, you know. Right now you don't see that. And you know, sometimes it kind of bothers me because I've seen fighters that I know they don't have my skills that I could beat them any day, and they become champions and they make tons of money. And I have to work twice as hard, you know. But it is what it is, you know. The way that I look at it, boxing right now is more as a business than a sport. But, you know, I have to keep winning.
Well, your business card is your two hands, right?
Exactly. If they don't...
Yeah, I think you have a great opportunity here with Miguel Cotto and Jay-Z and Rock Nation to really start making some moves if you want to impress some people. So
definitely.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on you. Is there anywhere people can find you online? You got Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
Yes, you go find me on Twitter as Orlandito Boxing. Or Orlandito del Valle on Facebook, and it will be my pleasure to interact with you and keep you updated with whatever is going on in Orlandito del Valle's career.
Awesome.
And tell me what you love most about the sport in general.
Yeah, the paychecks.
Yeah, that's the thing with the mixed martial artists now. They're talking about actually unionizing because the conditions are so bad, you know, especially with this UFC deal. I just heard of another fighter saying they're not going to sign the new contract because they've got this Reebok deal in place and these guys can't make any money with sponsorships like they used to, and they can't make the money anymore. So, I mean, boxing still kicks ass better per fighter on average.
Yeah.
Just a lot. I mean, like I used to say all the time when we had this debate over which sport was better, well, you know, if you could pick any country in the world right now, and there's probably a boxing match going on very soon there. Well, there's very few countries where boxing does not happen, but you can't really say the same thing about MMA. It hasn't really got that mainstream yet. But anyway, what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight? How about that?
To get ready for a fight, yeah, that's the most important, one of the most important things, and also my the way that I eat. You know, once you're getting ready to a fight, you have to eat the right way and do your conditioning. So before, you know, when you get to a fight, you be ready for it.
Cool. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to add that we didn't cover? Any final thoughts?
Well, you know, I really appreciate you guys for having me on. I'm looking forward, you know, to be with you guys again after my win on Saturday. And, you know, everybody out there, watch out for Landito del Valle. I'm a very excited fighter that whenever you guys watch me fight, you're going to be nowhere but out of your seat. I bring nothing but fireworks to the plate. And like I said, you can follow me at Landito Boxing or
saying again so I get it right next time I pronounce it.
Del Valle.
Del Valle. Okay.
Del Valle, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on you. We'll be rooting you on for sure, and we'll try to catch that match of yours coming up. And I'd say best of luck, but I don't think you need luck, right?
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, see you later. Bye.
There's there. Orlando Del Valle's got a big match coming up on Saturday on a Miguel Cotto Promotions card over there in Puerto Rico. And we'll be rooting him on, just like I told him. And, of course, we probably missed a lot of coverage tonight of the stuff we could have covered. But it is what it is. We had technical difficulties. We got about 14 minutes left in the broadcast to do a couple things. I do have BoxRec up here. Just going to quickly check the schedule there. Go to the home page on the new shitty BoxRec. All right, folks, trying to wrap it up here. We got a couple more guests. We got Ronda Rousey versus the one this weekend. And we did it against Belfort first. Son, still with us? Hanging up a long time, so you can call back in. And as I mentioned, facing Valerie Letourneau. Jed Rizik is 10-0. Letourneau is 8-3. Rousey, main event is 7-0. Holly Holm is 9-0. So this somebody's always going to go there. And we've got Mark Hunt versus Antonio Silva. A couple of big, big heavyweights there. That should be an intriguing fight. Hunt is 10-10-1, and Silva is 19-7-1. Silva just got his first win in a long while, so he's pretty pumped up, I'm sure. Hunt has kind of been back and forth. Had some injury woes, some big infection on his leg he was dealing with for a little while there. We've also got Uriah Hall, 12-5, fighting Robert Whitaker, who's 14-4. Stefan Struve fighting Jared Roche. Yeah. Fighting Peter Sabota, who is 15-4-1. Anthony Parosh, 15-9, fighting Gian Vellante, who's 13-6. Richie Vichulik, who is 10-3, fighting Danny Martinez, who's 17-7. Daniel Kelly, 9-1, fighting Steve Montgomery, who's 8-3. And Richard Walsh, 8-3, fighting Steve Kennedy, who's 22-7. And there's a couple of beginning the night. It's the first one, fighting Zafir, 7-1, fighting James Montashri. So that does it for that one. We'll get to the belt fight in a minute. All right, box rec results. Okay. Timothy Bradley Jr. beat Brandon Rios. We also had a big match between Denis Lebedev beating Latif Kayo on November 24th. And also Povetkin beat Marius Wach as well. On November 4th. But upcoming fights, we've got Darlys Perez fighting Anthony Crolla on November 21st. That's a big one. Arthur Abraham versus Murray. Cotto versus Alvarez. That's all next week. They don't really have much up here for a schedule this week in boxing. Let's see what we got going on. Friday the 13th again, huh?
Yes, it is.
All right, so yeah, Rodriguez versus Seals. That's a former guest is on tomorrow night on Spike TV. Edwin Rodriguez, 27-1. Of course, the one is to a very impressive great one, as they call him, Andre Ward. Rodriguez is 27-1 with I don't know how many knockouts because BoxRec sucks. He's fighting Michael Seals, who's 19-0 at light heavyweight. So this is it's going to be an interesting one. We've also got Thomas Williams Jr., 18-1, fighting Umberto Spain. 12-2, and Bryant Perella 11-0 fighting Shakib Fadli, who's 13-5. Not too much craziness on the rest of that card. Good stuff, anyway. Let's see if we got Tom. Tom is out for the evening. All right. Let's see what we got. Saturday. Boxing. Rosalind Provodnikov is fighting in Monaco on Saturday, actually. He's he also the interim WBA World Welterweight title is on the line in what looks like the main event. David Avanesian, who's 20, got 20 wins, one loss, one draw, fighting Charlie Navarro, who's 25-7. Oh, that, actually, that was last Saturday. Whoops. That was last Saturday. Avanesian won. Okay, so Provodnikov won last Saturday over Jesus. He beat Jesus. Jesus Alvarez, 14-0. Now 14-1. Provodnikov was 24-4 going in. Got the TKO in the fourth round of that one. So I was looking at the wrong ones there. So, that's on the last Friday? Yeah, that was last Friday, I guess. Yeah, that was last Friday that I was going over the Spike results. So who won? Let's see. Let's go back to that. Friday. Was it Tuesday? No. That was, as our guest was saying, Alejandro Gonzalez Jr. at bantamweight beat Kareem Guerfi. Well, got beat by Kareem Guerfi by unanimous decision. Where was that fight? All right, so tomorrow night, no, that was yesterday. Oh, tonight. Tonight there's fights going on in Detroit. Nothing too crazy good on that, but that was this Friday. I don't know why this keeps going back. Going on at Boxburg. It's pissing me off. Results. Okay, those are the results. This is calendar. November 7th. Look at that. Did I say Boxrec sucks?
No, you watch twice. You go and say it again because it's true.
Schedule. Also, all right, folks, we just got a couple minutes left and just wanted to cover a couple more fights, big fights coming up on this Saturday. Just a couple seconds here, we'll get to those. Frank Galarza versus Jarrett Hurd is going to be the Showtime fight on Saturday night. That's one of the main events. That's a super welterweight fight. Galarza is 17-0-2. Hurd is 16-0. We've got Bermain Stiverne, 24-2-1, fighting Derek Rossi, who's 30-10. Sergey Derevyanchenko, 6-0, versus Jesse Nicklow, who's 25-7-3 on that one. And that's pretty much the big fight of the weekend. So until next week, I think that's all we've got, folks. And thanks for stopping by.